What's up, everyone? I'm Coy, and I am so grateful that I get to hang out with you this week right here on CNN 10. We have a rockin' show for you this wonderful Wednesday, but we do have to start with the latest out of Pakistan, where people are hurting as their nation's been devastated by flooding. Severe floods have swept away roads, homes, schools, and hospitals, leaving nearly one-third of the South Asian country underwater. Millions of people have been forced from their homes and are struggling through waist-deep water to reach safety. The current crisis began when severe monsoon rains hit the country last week, piling water on top of more than 2 months' worth of record flooding that has already killed hundreds of people and displaced millions more. Nearly all of the country's crops and significant amounts of livestock and fertilizer have been damaged by the floods, harming the food supply. Pakistan was already reeling from the economic inflation, which makes the price of food unattainable for many of its citizens. Experts are now concerned about another round of food shortages and disease, which could be transmitted through contaminated water in the coming weeks. Authorities say that the flooding could take up to 6 months to recede, which could even impact the country's planting season in October. As the flooding threatens to set the country's progress back and potentially worsen existing political tensions, the United Nations is currently urging support for Pakistan.
Trying to get to higher ground. This is one of the few roads that has not been completely submerged underwater. And there's just a steady flow of people coming here. You can see they're crammed into buses. They're on rickshaws. They're on motorcycles. And they've just tried to grab whatever they possibly can salvage from their homes and move it to higher ground. But the fear is this isn't going to be higher ground for that much longer, because even though there's no rain forecast here for the next 5 days, the water levels here are still rising. And that's because this is essentially a catchment area. This is right between the Indus River and the Mathura Lake. And the end result of that is that there is nowhere for this water to run off to. And all the rain that's coming from other parts of the country in the north is kind of running down here and swelling into this area. And what is so pronounced here is you don't see any aid workers here. You don't see any aid being distributed. These are hard to reach areas. The Pakistani government is doing its level best to get people what they need, but the demand is so huge. One UN official calling it a logistical nightmare.
All right, let's go. 10-second trivia time. Which constellation is known as the Hunter? Is it Andromeda, Orion, Gemini, or Taurus? One of the most recognizable in the night sky, it's the belt-wearing Orion constellation that's known as the Hunter. Next up, we're traveling to the Orion constellation with a photo that is 5 years in the making. On Monday, new images were released showing thousands of never-seen-before stars and this image of a newborn star from the Orion Nebula. The images were taken by the James Webb Telescope, and hopes are that the data from it can help us understand how stars and planetary systems are formed. According to scientists, these images reveal an environment similar to our own solar system when it formed more than 4.5 billion years ago. The technology works by detecting infrared light in the cosmos, which allows observers to see through layers of dust, illustrating what's happening inside the Milky Way. The images are said to be the sharpest ever taken, and part of the goal for the Webb telescope is detecting distant and faint galaxies. The telescope itself was launched in 2021. According to NASA, the telescope will cost the American taxpayer $10 billion. Next up, some inspiration and motivation in the form of a story of a young girl from rural Kenya. Growing up, she'd never even heard of a computer. Now she's enhancing the lives of young people in her community through repurposing discarded technology. She's aiming to create positive change in this world, one computer at a time.
I never forget what it was like growing poor. I never forget what it was like my stomach churning because of hunger at night. I would have to go and scavenge for food at trash pits. We grew up in a tin roof house. It was full of potholes. I used to look at the different light bouncing from the holes from the roof. And then just imagine what it would look like to sustainably fix poverty. I was a very hardworking student, even though I wasn't in school often. And even though I was the most hardworking person I knew, I still did not know what a computer was. I am from Mogotio, which is a small village in rural Kenya. And there isn't much of an economic activity here. I got a full-ride four-year scholarship in America, Augustana College in 2012. I got a job as a janitor, cleaning bathrooms. I discovered computer science my junior year of college, just out of accident. I needed to take an introduction to Java for my math major, and I just fell in love with it. I just knew this is what I wanted to do, and also bring it to my community. Every 3 years, companies are upgrading their IT. Most of these computers are ending up in landfills. Well, we have kids here, myself included, back in the day, who don't even know what a computer is. And so what we're doing is that we're working with institutions, colleges, companies, even individuals. And then we bring it to the schools. We refurbish them. We install our own custom operating system that is geared towards teaching our kids self-efficacy, troubleshooting, and internet skills. All of you are going to be graphic designers today. Right now, we're working with 4,000 kids. My hope is that when the first tech-led kids graduate high school, their families and themselves will not need aid because they can make money online. That money will support their families. That money will support themselves. I can't even describe just how dehumanizing poverty is. You're just getting crushed over and over again. My mom was working really hard, and I was still going to bed hungry. I was still living in a house that was flooding. But the world is your oyster when you are educated. The thing that was really frustrating me growing up, not seeing change, not seeing hope, not even seeing progress. I feel like with these kids, I can see a path, like I can see a way where they can make a living online. And that is really like why we're doing this work. My life is bigger than myself. If I have the power to change anything, I have to do it. I have to give it my all and keep doing it.
All right, how's this for a 10 out of 10? Four people broke a Guinness World Record by playing putt-putt for 24 hours straight. They walked 20 miles during their mission. 2,097 holes. That's the most holes of mini golf ever completed by a foursome in a 24-hour span. It happened at a putt-putt course in northern Kentucky, and they blasted past the previous record set in Germany back in 2005 by 657 holes. And it gets better. They did it to help raise money for a humanitarian and disaster relief organization. Putting for a purpose. But 24 hours straight? Way to go, team. Alright, gotta give some special shout-outs. First, the two middle schools that I attended in good old Pennsylvania. Lemoyne and New Cumberland. I miss pizza day in the cafeteria. I miss my hair, too! Oh, the good old days. What's up, little brother? Also, we see you, Crusaders of the St. Joseph School in Martinsburg, West Virginia. We hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful one. I'm Coy. Thanks for watching CNN 10.